And welcome everyone to another Tuesday evening here on peoplesinternetradio.com. I'm Stephen Robertson. This is Cancel the Cabal. I do need to apologize again for the cursing and Joe Rogan's little video there. Joe Rogan of the freethoughtproject.com. Here in America, he has kind of a podcasting type of thing going on that he does. Excuse me a second. I'm going to mute and turn this fan off of here. It's bugging me a little bit. All right. I can think a little bit better now. Yes, you are right, Martin. The truth. The truth can be brutally honest. And some people do get the truth over a little bit differently than a lot of us do. And fortunately, we are not censored by any tyrannical government at the moment here anyways on the internet, so we are free to speak our minds and use any sort of colorful metaphors or colorful language, however you want to call it, in any way that we can to get that message out. But I wanted to play that video in this show here, and I've been given a message by someone in the network here, in the group. He wants to come on in a few minutes here when I get done. I'm not going to speak a long time on this, but we're going to have a little chin wag and talk about some things, maybe in this video or what this video discusses. Actually, the two videos I played, the first video was of an actual mainstream report. Fox News here in America sent Geraldo Rivera over to Afghanistan. I don't recall what year it was, but they sent Geraldo Rivera over to Afghanistan to report on why the American troops were guarding the opium fields. And of course, it was a load of crap. The explanation that they gave to the American public, trying to substantiate why the military and why the American government is guarding the opium fields in Afghanistan. There's no mistake and no misreporting on previous to September 11th, 2001, the tribal leaders over there in Afghanistan, for whatever reasons they had cut down production of the opium in the opium fields. They cut it down substantially, massively, over some reports of 80 to 90% of what they had in previous years had been producing. And it's no mistake that on the day of September 11th, or actually it was 2 weeks before September 11th, 2001, George Bush signed the executive order to send the troops into Afghanistan. They hadn't been shipped or anything, but they were in the process. They were being prepared. And just mysteriously, the next day after, they were shipped off to Afghanistan. They got all of the military planes all set up and got all the troops all set up and shipped them off the day after September 11th. How mysterious is that? And within 2 weeks, they were in Afghanistan fighting the tribal leaders, the Mujahideen, I think they were called, or whatever, fighting the tribal leaders to take possession of the opium fields. And they've had possession of the opium fields ever since, just a few short weeks after September 11th, 2001. How mysterious is that? And there's also no other explanation for it, why heroin and other types of drugs that are made from opium are on the resurgence in America in the last 15 years. Quite mysterious. And who, one needs to ask, is benefiting from the money coming out of the opium trade in Afghanistan. A lot of reports say it's the CIA and the big banks all over the world. They are the ones profiting. They are laundering money from the drugs to keep themselves going, pretty much, to keep themselves from circling the drain in the corrupt world of financing and economics. I just got a text from somebody, so anyways, I'm going to go ahead and put that little short song on and PM my guest and see if he wants to come on. So we'll be right back in just a few minutes, everyone. All right, welcome back after that little short break, everyone. I do have a call-in guest. I've been trying not to book guests on this show here because I do want to try to refine my skills or whatever you want to call it, but I will from time to time take a guest and take a caller. So I want to welcome Ray Hall to the show. Welcome, Ray.
Hi, how are you, Steve? How is things?
Very
good.
Hello,
everybody out there on People's Internet Radio. How are you today? Yeah.
Very good. Very good. Yeah, you kind of mentioned while I had the song on there for the break, Ray, we can talk about a few things. Talk about the videos I ran there, the one with Joe Rogan and the one with the Fox News report on the opium.
Fox News report, you know, it like that one, that's not like anywhere. That's no different than anywhere else, anywhere in the world. Governments everywhere in the world control the drugs trade.
Yes, they do. I believe they do.
It is the CIA especially, yeah, and the DEA.
Yeah.
In Central and South America, it's the DEA, and then worldwide, it's the CIA, and it's been going on since probably before the Vietnam War.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Well, you know, the underground joke, the non-mainstream joke about the CIA, they're known as the Cocaine Import Agency.
Well, yeah. You know, look, drugs is about control, you know, and you see there's huge money. It might be an illegal business, yeah, but that doesn't mean it's not a profitable business, you know. Dealing in arms should be an illegal business, but it's not. But it's also a very profitable business,
well,
like, isn't it?
The arms industry is actually illegal unless you're in the gang, so to speak, Ray, and unless you're on the inside and you and your buddies are profiting from it.
Yeah, well, like, if it's illegal, well, where are all these weapons coming from that are in Syria, Libya, Iraq, Egypt? Like, somebody is supplying them. It's the DuPont family, as far as I can work out.
Yeah, the DuPonts, the Rhodes family. I'm sorry?
The Bushes, yeah, it's
the Bushes, yeah.
The Bushes, Morgans, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, you know, it's them.
Yep.
But when you go to legitimate corporate business and you look around and you see who are all the main players as well, it's the Bushes, the DuPonts, the Rockefellers, the Morgans, and the Rothschilds.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. And it really boggles my mind that a lot of so-called intelligent people all over the world, Ray, I mean, not just here in America, but in Europe and Asia and Russia, they just eat the crap that's fed to them by the mainstream, and
absolutely
wholeheartedly believe what their masters tell them.
What they're being told, yeah, it's all an illusion. But like, for years and years and years and years, like, I believed that this was reality and this is what it is. But it's really all an illusion, you know. It's all predetermined and preset, and they're using our human nature, like, to suppress our will, I suppose, because we're beings of free will. And many times, like, I'm trying to get back to when it all started, back to around, when was the Vatican started? Around 800 AD.
800 AD? The Vatican?
Around then, I think, yeah.
Well, didn't it actually go before that with Emperor Constantine?
Yeah, the empire was there, but that's when they brought in the religious control, I think, yeah?
Okay, okay.
Right. When did the Muslims were there around the 7th century as well? So probably around that time, yeah. And then you move on through history, and you have the Knights Templars. They appear in the 11th century and the war for Jerusalem. Yeah, like
the Crusades. Yeah,
vitally important to them for some reason or another, because at the end of time you have the Vatican and the crown and will all come together as one at the end of time, and that's the Trinity. So you have the banks, the Vatican, and the crown, and it all, like, from most of what I'm finding, it that's where it all the connections come, all the way back to there, city of the Vatican, city of London, and in New York.
Well, I believe this is not really my area of study, Ray, but I think it was somewhere in the 17th century that the money changers found out that they could give a little piece of paper as a IOU, maybe, if you want to think of it that way, for someone's silver or gold. And I think that's when they probably started scheming on...
Well, they were scheming before that, because, like, if you go back now, I've been digging into a lot of stuff. The Kestikv Act, 1666, that was in the same year as the Fire of London. That was planned then, like, so they were planning 500 years then. You know, that's an act for redress for people that disappear and then they come back, and it's about tying the fiction to them so that it can be plundered by the judges in the courts, yeah?
Certainly, yeah.
Yeah, so I will give... Look, that's a complicated act, and while I don't have the full... I'm getting into why it was created, and it's probably more important than the Magna Carta and things like that from when it was. Look, I've been so busy lately, and I've been doing so much research, but, like, I'm finding that an awful lot of the research is now all tying into different things that I was researching, all tying back, the further back you go, you know?
Yeah, yeah. These people that we're dealing with today, Ray, they have family that goes back many, many hundreds of years, and some even claim thousands of years, so they try to keep it all in the family. They try to keep the money in the family, and they try to keep the power in the family.
Yeah, it's the bloodlines. The bloodlines go way back, way, way, way back, and you're talking all the way back, like, to Egyptian times, like.
Yes, yes, and even there's even a claim out there that a lot of them are related to Jesus Christ, and also people like Vlad the Impaler. Trying to think of some of the main characters of history, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. Look, I'm astounded at what goes on. But, like, at the end of the day, we're all our own worst enemies. Because, like, we're all living within a matrix that's within a system, and we're trying to see, is there something on the outside, when the answer is actually within us? You know what I mean? Stop consenting to all of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if one wants to take the word sovereign or... sovereignty, I think one of the oldest definitions of sovereignty actually breaks down to so over reign, to so over your own land.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah, so your own wheat or whatever your crop of choice happened to be, potatoes or corn or whatever the case might be.
Yeah. Like I keep going back to everywhere I go back, it's the older, into the older language I get, and it seems to be man is of the land, yeah, but because we're part of this fictional, we detach ourselves from there, like the earth on a battery going to a car, and now we're in the system, you know, because the system, no matter what way we look at it, is there to plunder, to put a name against the man and plunder any wealth or whatever that he might have.
Yes, absolutely. And,
through courts, yeah, using the court system. Well, it wasn't like that. While it wasn't always like that, that's very much so the way it is today.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. You know, I don't want to seem like I'm attacking Christianity or attacking the Bible or anything like that, but Moses was supposed to have come off a mount, whatever mount it was, with the Ten Commandments, and one of those commandments happens to be do not envy. I mean, envy is actually one of the original sins, so.
Yeah, it's one of the seven, what do they call them? Seven deadly sins.
Seven deadly sins, yeah.
I see a question there in the chat box. What hurts me? I think my feet. It's the answer, yeah.
Exactly.
I'm somebody of free will, so why hurts me? I look around and I'm now starting to see that for years I would have believed in the system and I would have been very much indoctrinated. But I'm now seeing through the bullshit, I suppose. Is that the long and the short of it?
Certainly, yeah. Yeah, that would be my explanation anyways. But, I actually made a meme up last year, and I seen another one today. I think I shared it on my Facebook page. I'm going to go back and try to find it. But anyways, the whole gist of, here it is. I shared it earlier on today. It says, I don't care about Fukushima. My TV will tell me when to worry. You know, it kind of jabs a stick at the mainstream media on what they call news and what they put forth as news. But my actual meme that I made last year was a man kind of jokingly screaming at his wife with a bullhorn about, I think it went something like, Israel is evil, Saudi Arabia is evil, 9/11 is a lie, free energy is out there. And the woman kind of shrugs her shoulders and says to her husband, honey, if any of this were true, we would hear it on the news.
Yeah, but it's not true. Most of this stuff is not true, right? We're fed. We're spoon-fed into what we want to believe. That's basically, I always see the news now when, the news comes on the evening. I think of that as, here is the news and this is what we want you to believe.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
You know, it's all bullshit. It really is all bullshit. Dell was asked the question there, what hurts you and what is the greatest truth I found? Yeah. The greatest truth that I found is I am my own God. Yeah.
Yes.
I am my own God. And we can go back, and you were talking about the Bible there earlier and the commandments, right? And it was something that interests me because I keep going back to the Bible now, looking for quotes and things that this man, Jesus, supposedly said, yeah, because it is all hearsay at the end of the day, yeah? And it's the interpretations that you try, and there's many different interpretations about that. When you walk into life, is he telling you to walk away from the dead fictions and leave the bankers and traders and all of them alone, and live your life, you know? It's about everything you do in life is about you, and everything you do comes from within you. No, there's no God out there pumping juice into you so that you do things or anything like that. You are your own God.
Oh yeah.
You are your own.
Well, you
control your own destiny. Yes.
We are supposed to be our own keepers. We're supposed to be our own governors. Yeah, we're supposed to be our own kings and queens.
Yeah. Well, I feel I am. Like they'd say, the first commandment, I am the Lord your God. Well, I would say I am the Lord my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Moses brought this down, but he didn't say what it was. So it says, I am the Lord your God. Well, then maybe he's saying, I am the Lord my God.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
You know what I mean? I shall not have false gods before me. Well, I won't worship any kings or queens or governments or anything like that. I'll only worship me.
Yeah. Dale just posed another question. Any insights in the trials of Christ for us Christians going to court?
Look, I don't feel qualified to answer on that because everything is my opinion. I'm not here to slate Christianity or anything like that. I believe it could be a futile belief for a lot of people, and it could be the story that was written, and it probably is all hearsay, and some of it could be true and some of it is most likely not true, and it's all been diluted in one form or another. It's the divide and conquer theory right throughout history. But insights going into court, be yourself, yeah, be you, yeah, be whoever you are, and question every, accept nothing and question everything.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I was trying to respond to somebody, sorry about that.
Oh, you're okay. No, look, I was answering Dell's question. Insights, yeah. When I'm in the court, I tend not to accept anything. So I don't want to go into the court thing too much tonight, but like I like to talk sometimes about other things and about what I'm learning as I'm going along, and it's great because I like to share it. But hints for court, they've put in a statement of claim, they've put in a affidavit, question everything, ask everything, and be you, yeah? Be who you are. At the end of the day, they have no power at all anyway. You just have to let them see.
Yeah. Man. Well, Del also just put in there about the mantra that is taught to us. I'm not worthy to receive you as a precept when visiting a church. I think that's just the control mechanism that there is a deity that is supposed to be above man and control.
Have you ever seen him?
No, I haven't. But I haven't.
I don't know anybody that has.
But I haven't seen my brain either. So that, I mean, that doesn't mean that.
Yeah, I know. But you know it's there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If it wasn't there, you'd be dead.
Yes.
But you know it's there, right? But like, yeah, look. I don't know. I am me. I used to be a Catholic. I used to be a Christian, but I always question things, right? And I always go back to, and this is where I always hated these bullshit answers. That's one of the mysteries of the Bible and stuff like that. Yeah.
Right.
When they couldn't answer a question. And at a very young age, before I made my communion, so before I reached the age of consent, well, that's consent, is it? No, that's not consent, but the age of reason, I was asking questions, and I remember the priest visiting our house when I was only about 5 or 6 years of age. And I asked, and he was telling us about the Bible, and of course, he was telling the story of Adam and Eve, and they had two sons, Cain and Abel, and Cain killed Abel, right?
Yes.
And I was very, very, very quick, now, even though I was only a child, and I says, oh, they had two sons. Who did Cain marry, right?
Yes.
Because these are supposed to be the ones that we all descended from, or that's what we're allegedly taught, and
right.
This and that and the other, right? And he just turned around to me and he says, that son is one of the mysteries of the Bible.
That's more or less code for shut up, kid. Go back to your room. Yes, exactly. And
like, I was curious from a very, very, very young age, but then you get indoctrinated. Like, I didn't go to school till I was about 6.5 years old. So then you get indoctrinated. And like, when you go to school, like when I was at home, I didn't have to ask to go to the toilet or anything like that. But when I went to school, then I realized that there were fences and there were rules, and that I had to put up my hand if I wanted to do something, or, you know, so the indoctrination started at quite a young age. But I do have the good sense to say, not like modern day children. When I was 6 months old, I wasn't dumped in front of the television. We didn't have a television in our house till I was about 9 years of age. So I didn't have that forced upon me when I was an infant.
Right. Right. Well, there's a question from Dell also, directed to me. How goes it in the States in terms of spirituality? Is Christ consciousness alive and growing in our American cousins? I think two answers is no. Christianity is not really growing. The megachurches are growing, the ones that are corporate funded, the ones that hold thousands of people. They're being pushed, and their agenda is quite a bit different than the agenda of the, in air quotations, so-called Christianity. They are pushing different views, but for the most part, if they're not corporate funded, a lot of churches are dying out. They've become flashy, in a sense of the word, in America. They are running live streams. They're running Ustreams. They're running YouTube Live. They're running video. They're running productions that would rival mediocre budget films each and every week, you know. They're spending $5,000 a week on their production cost to get the so-called message out there, right? Dell, I should say. But as far as spirituality, I think people are scrutinizing Christianity over here in America. I know I certainly am. I don't recall the message in the Bible where God wants everyone to kill each other for oil or gold or whatever the resource happens to be, you know. I haven't found that passage in the Bible yet.
I don't do a lot of Bible reading. I just look up things that this man Jesus allegedly said.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I look up things they talk about. The one guy that you can't find a lot about, actually, funny enough, and he seems to be fairly important, is Elijah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's a question for you also, after mine there, Ray.
Yeah. Was Dallas the start of my slippery slope? Well, that would have, yeah. Dell, I'm a little bit older than Dallas. No, I suppose Sesame Street was the start of my slippery slope, you know.
Dallas. Because I think you'll have to explain that.
That'd be the first show I remember.
Ah, okay, okay. I mean, explain what he's asking you there. Start of the slippery slope.
The indoctrination, I would imagine, like from watching the TV. Children are very much indoctrinated now, I believe, by internet, TV, video, songs. Everything now is to tell them what to think and what to feel and what want, everything that they see now around them is advertising, and they'll see more advertising, I suppose, in 2 or 3 years of their lives than we see in a whole lifetime.
The more or less the ink sock banner that runs 24/7, 365, you know, the war is peace. I can't remember the rest of it, but
Like, life couldn't have been so boring for everybody 200, 300 years ago. Like, children were still children, and they grew up to be adults, and they produced more children. So, like, we don't need all this crap around us, like, you know, stealing our imagination, stealing our... You know, we don't need all this shit around us. That's... Like, I'm not saying technology is a bad thing, but I'm saying...
Yes, same.
Being pushed upon us, we don't need. Like, if a man has a piece of land and a roof over his head and some seeds, he can live quite happily, and he doesn't really need money. He can, like, if there's a group of people around, they can have a community, and everybody can live quite well, like they did for thousands of years before the 19th century and technology came along.
Yes, you know? Yes. Can you imagine how many... Well, let's just face it, hundreds of millions of young people all over the world, what kind of depression they're going to go through if there happens to be a worldwide, say like an EMP that would cut out all of the electronics all over the world?
Well, that's going to happen. That's inevitable. We have a thing over here called Murphy's Law. And it means if it can happen, it will happen.
That darn Irishman, huh?
Yeah, if it can happen, it will happen. And it's inevitable that will happen.
Yeah.
And picking back up on Dell there, JR would have been one of my favorites in Dallas, actually, because
he was ruthless.
He appeared to me as thinking outside the box.
Oh, yeah.
Like this thing, like, and I get it all the time of people quoting acts and legislation and rules and regulations and everything like that. Really, the truth of the matter is if you can do it and you can get away with it, well, then it didn't work, you know?
Wasn't it you one time that characterized it as legislation?
Yeah. Yeah.
Explain to me what you meant by that. That's been about a year ago, and I think I heard you say that.
Yeah, look, the world around us is not what we think it is. We don't need it. We don't need most of it. We need the air, the wind, the water, and the land, the earth. Yeah, so earth, fire, wind, and water. We need all four of them, because if you want to call this the fire is the sun, you need it. Yeah. That too, Del, the bed hopping alcoholism control, That when you're only a teenage boy is success, you know. Oh, look at him! Look at how well he got on. But that was probably part of the indoctrination. It had taken me 30 years to grow out of it. So, of everything that I probably, I picked up a lot of bad habits, I suppose, in the first 35 years of my life, and it's taken the rest of the time to try and forget what I learned then and start learning again. But man only needs the four elements. He needs his five senses, and he needs his intellect. And that's all man needs to survive, you know. A few seeds, the earth will provide, you know.
Yeah, that's what I seem to. I mean, that's the message I picked up on from day one, 7.5 years ago, Ray. You know, what do we actually need to survive? We need shelter. We need fresh, clean food. And we need fresh, clean water and fresh, clean air.
Yeah, that's it. You need heat. Yeah, you need heat.
Yeah, but the earth. But
that's it.
Sure.
You don't need a lot. Man will survive without a lot, you know.
Exactly, yeah.
And has done, yeah. So when we talk about
it's all makey-uppy.
It is all makey-uppy, yeah. Everything.
Everything.
All
is.
Of it.
That's
it's
right.
All makey-uppy. Every bit of it, yeah. Politics, media, religion, or does he religion?
Religion, yeah.
Acts, you know, I agree. It's all. We can be what we want to be. Basically, do you have to go there? Can you go there in your mind, you know, like, and it appears as if you did, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like I said, everything we need comes from within us. There's nothing that we really need that's out there. There's no answers out there. We have what we have, and it's from, everything comes from within, you know, everything, like, we take it. I feel that there's probably an energy out there, and I suppose you can't see it and you can't feel it, but you must live it. And if you can connect to it, the information will come in through your stomach, possibly in food, and go to your heart and then go to your brain, you know, and it makes you smarter. It's called awareness.
Certainly. I've got a friend. I know this is part of a bit of a critique from a lot of people that still believe in the old system, but they call it New Age. And I think they call it New Age for a reason. You know, you put a label on something and then you can criticize it and demonize it. But I have a friend that teaches a lot of her people she deals with that if you have a negative feeling, it affects nearly 750,000 people, 750,000 people all over the planet. And if you have a good feeling or a good thought, it adversely affects 750,000 people. I don't know if there's any.
Well, look, I probably have a little. I got to be honest. I think that you can feel an atmosphere, right?
Yeah.
And I believe that you can feel that vibe. It does be physically in the air, and I say that because years ago I was working in Dublin City, right, and it was the night that Ireland beat England in the rugby at Croke Park, and it was like stuffing, you know.
I'll bet that was a night, wasn't it?
Yeah, but like you could cut the atmosphere in the air. It was an atmosphere of joy, of happiness, of everything, but you could feel it. You know, if you walked into a building and then walked back out, you could physically feel it. You know what I mean? It was a sense, but like as the night, I was working, obviously, I was driving a cab, but as the night wore on and the drink and everything took in, the arguments took place, and the feeling became turned from being a lovely, happy feeling to being a quite on the edge, nasty feeling, if you like, yeah?
Yeah, exactly.
But you could still feel it, you know, like it's like when you instinctively know, like say you're somewhere and you instinctively know that something bad is going to happen and it's time to go. Yeah?
Certainly.
You know, it's hard to, but I believe there is an energy out there that we don't know about and that we do connect to through whatever means, and you can tap into that.
Yes, you can. I mean, a lot of us have seen, I've actually seen it myself. You can walk into a room and there will be a certain air about the room, a certain
atmosphere,
yeah. And
yeah,
somebody might crack a joke and there might be a lot of tension, but the mood of the room might change after that joke.
Yeah, I know exactly. Look, I know exactly what you're where you're coming from. But like, I think we need to be able to figure out how to tap into things like that, and to get like how come you can go into that room one day and you can feel an atmosphere, and you go in there the next day, and because everybody's all feeling down or this,
well,
or that,
that's
you feel nothing.
That's
yeah?
just that's just something you do. Well, that's just funny. You might. You just mentioned that. Sherry just popped back into the room there. She was in the chat early on in the show, and then she had to go run and do something, but she's back in now. A lot of the times, she will say to herself her own little personal mantra that'll put her in a good mood. Or I think she says she just starts laughing in the morning, and that gets her in a good mood. And she might say to herself, you know, some little saying that she has, and she can change her thoughts, change her mood for the day.
Yeah, like, I hate waking up in bad humor, but unfortunately it happens. We all have good days and bad days, and you wake up grumpy. No. Sometimes people think I'm grumpy when I'm not. I don't know. Maybe it's the aura that I give off.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, I have had people come down and say to me as well, like, that there's people feeding off my energy. You know, when I'm in good humor, like I've often been known to have a few people around me, and like
yeah.
everybody be buzzing, but I would be maybe the entertainer or the center of where all that buzz is coming from. But I've been told, like, by I don't know what they are. I don't know
yeah.
if it's real or not. People will come down and say there's people feeding off your energy. You have
yeah.
an aura about you, and there's people feeding off that.
Exactly, exactly. Well, Sherry just put in there what she does. She at the start, she makes herself laugh, and then she fakes it until she's able to get that feeling, I guess.
Yeah.
But well, we're just about at the hour. Would you like to take a little break, put the teapot on, and come back for some more?
Yeah, sure. How long are we gonna be?
How long would you like? 5 minutes? 7 minutes?
I'd say 5 minutes would be loads for me.
Okay. Let me find something good here. So.
Actually, I won't have tea. I'll just have a glass of milk or something. That'll probably,
yeah.
It's getting a bit late over here, you know. Then, you see, you drink the tea and then you can't sleep. So then you end up maybe taking a sleeping tablet, or you take something else, because I have to be up early in the morning.
Yeah. Okay, I'll go just a little bit more than five, because I do need to.
I'll put on a song and we'll be back, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. We'll be right back, everyone. All right, we are back after that little break for the final hour of Cancel the Cabal on peoplesinternetradio.com. It's Tuesday afternoon, late afternoon, early evening here in America, and about 11 p.m., just after 11 p.m. over there. I'm sorry, not 11, 10 p.m. over there in Ireland, Scotland, the U.K., and elsewhere. I still have I still have Ray. We're going to continue on. We've talked about a few things. I thought I might tell him a little whimsical thing that happened to me last night. As a lot of people do know, I play pool on pool leagues around my local area here, and Monday nights, well, it's currently the only night that I'm playing right now, because I just wanted to take a little bit of a break and try to rededicate myself to what I'm doing here on People's Internet Radio and a couple of other networks. And I do have some things trying to work on in the background and that, but trying to set up networks and stuff like that, trying to make more people aware in my area on what's actually going on than what their news tells them what's actually going on. But a little funny thing last night at the pool hall, Ray, one of my friends kind of knows what I does, but he doesn't really kind of know what I do. And he said, hey, Steve, what do you think about the election coming up between Trump and Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders? And I said, it's all rigged. It's all rigged, Frank. That's what I said. They're going to put the guy or the girl, the man or the woman in there that they want in there. And I just said to him three times in a row, it's all rigged. And this man, Frank, and a couple other people looked at me like I had three eyeballs on my face, you know, like I was some sort of a kook.
Yeah. They say that, yeah. They'll say these things, like, but it is all rigged.
Yeah.
You know, it is all rigged, yeah. Every last bit of it doesn't really matter who gets in. They all have the same boss.
Uh-huh. You know?
So, yeah. Doesn't matter who's paying for Trump's campaign, who's paying for Clinton's campaign. You'll find it's the same company that's backing both of them. You know, they just don't back losers. You know, how do you not back the loser of the Grand National? Back all the horses, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And it's really interesting to me how much of a, well, for the lack of a better word, how much of a joke the political system is. It's been quite a few years now that they more or less started to, more or less, kind of like a comedy act when looking at political debates. I don't know whether it started with Bill Clinton here in America, but, you know, they had one question from some viewer or, I don't know what it was, some sort of a social media type thing when they asked Bill Clinton what type of underwear he wore, you know, whether it was boxers or briefs. And I thought to myself way back then, 20 plus years ago, really? A question in a debate between presidential candidates, what kind of underwear he wears?
Yeah, but that's what they do. You see, it's all about deflection and actually tell you nothing. You watch a politician when he's interviewed on TV, and you might think the interviewer say, oh, and he asks him a difficult question. Good question, you might be thinking.
He'll
talk about the question and around the question and over the question and under the question, but he won't answer the question.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And that's then accepted, you know, and then it's like what I find when you're going into court, it's called, I tend to find it that if you're going into court, you're only there for this, yeah, whatever you're in there for, that's all you should be talking about. But what they find is they throw disputes out there on the ground that's maybe around that or connected to that or could be connected to that, and then that's called bringing you down the yellow brick road, yeah, and then them disputes become issues, and you know, and then basically you're not talking about what you're in there for, you're talking about youths and the suspicion, and you've just brought it into a whole load of bullshit, and at the end of the day then somebody says something and that's the end of it, and you haven't talked about what you're there for.
Yeah.
And it's all bullshit, and that's exactly what politicians do. They never talk about the issues of the day, they talk around the issues of the day, and it's really all bullshit, and it's all about deflecting the blame from one to the other, and nobody done nothing, and
well,
the only thing is everybody's getting well paid. Yeah.
I heard many, many years ago, and, you know, it seems to ring true. When a politician hears a question, they have to think in their mind, three D's, deflect, deny, and, there's another one I just had a few seconds ago.
Dispute.
Not dispute. It was another one. It'll come to me in a minute here, but, that's pretty much what they do. I know there's a word for it too. It's even a psychological word or a political word, but you know,
rhetoric.
Yeah, rhetoric. Well, you happen to mention there, a politician will be asked a question and they could speak fluently for 3 or 4 minutes and not say a word.
Jesus, here they can do it for 10.
deflect, deny, distort.
Yeah,
I think that
called
is, yeah.
Fallacies, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Distort, that word, is it?
Distort. That could have been one of it, but that wasn't the one I was thinking of either. But
thank you, Vin.
That's still a good one.
But, yeah, look, it's more or less all bullshit when you learn that, yeah, like, the only person that looks after you is you. Yeah. Like, okay, your wife might cook you dinner, and if you were sick, they might feed you when you were in bed and everything. But the only person that looks after you is you, and you look after your mind by, you know, by trying to think positively all the time. And because if you feel depression comes from those who can't think clearly and to those that get hung up on things and they let things affect them. But, like, that used to happen to me as well, I suppose. It happens to everybody. But the whole idea here is to always look for the positive situation out of everything, no matter how bad it is.
Oh, most certainly. Yeah, there's always light at the end of the tunnel. Always.
Yeah, well, they switched it off for a while here.
Kind of put the blinders on there, huh?
Yeah. Well, I remember years ago there was a meme going around like, and it was they switched the light off at the end. That was after the crash there of 2000, the financial crash of 2006. But like, what they're trying to do now is they've plastered over that big financial crash of 2006, right, with loads of money that they printed out of thin air, right? And now they're trying to say that there's a recovery, but everybody's still on the wages that they were on in 2008 when they started slashing and burning everything, right? So, you know, things has not gone. And like, the money that they're bringing in now, like, we're all fighting for the assets that they're trying to take from when the crash happened at the moment, right? And the money that they're bringing in now is what's going to happen in the next 10 years when there's another crash coming very, very, very shortly, when they're going to try and grab all that money they printed out in the thin air and assign to assets like cars, houses, holiday homes, villas, you know, assets. There's not so much being spent on speculation, I think, yeah?
Yeah.
And they'll try and make a grab for that later on. But like, banks are still winning and they're getting, their profits are more than they ever were, you know?
Exactly. I found it interesting that SD brought up Joseph Stalin a few minutes ago. I think he's also attributed to having the quote, it doesn't matter who votes, it matters who counts the votes.
That's very, very true. That's why, Stalin, like Stalin, I don't think he had elections, did he?
So it's
very easy for him to say that. You
know?
You know, like, if you don't like it, tough, bang.
You're going to go vote for Joseph Stalin today, right, sir?
Yeah.
You know, with a gun in the back of your head.
Like, that's an evil man just saying, well, it doesn't really matter. We're in control anyway, you know?
Yeah. But I recall that there's a quote attributed to Mark Twain, the sort of 19th century philosopher here in America. He said, I think he said something to the effect that if voting really counted, they wouldn't allow us to vote.
Well, he's very, very, very true. You see, when I'm looking for insight and I'm looking for inspiration and everything, I like to go back to the men who were alive, I suppose, 200, 300, 400 years ago, intelligent men like that wrote well, and even now today, like as supposedly well educated as we are supposed to be, I still have to look up and figure out what some of the stuff they're saying is. But there's George Adams, about 200 years ago, around the American War of Independence time, yeah?
Okay.
He said it very, very, very finely when he says, "Hear ye." They were debating about the North and the South, right? And I suppose it was when the freedom of the coloureds or the slaves, right? And he went, hear ye, let us write ourselves a constitution. Let us change the word from subject, yeah? It was the American War of Independence, actually. Let us change the word from subject, yeah, to citizen.
Right.
Slaves won't know the difference. Right. So just like that, they handed it over from crown control to corporate control, and that's basically the switch. Yeah,
well,
the switcheroo. And the American Constitution, like, it's not really, it contradicts itself, because in some places it says the United States, and in other places it says United States of America. Well, I've read it a few times. I've never really got a grip to why do they keep calling it different names, you know?
Well, the corporate entity is called the United States. The actual Constitution, the one that people are supposed to be swearing an oath to, is the Constitution of United States of America. When you look at it semantically, they justify themselves on claiming to take an oath to the Constitution, but they're taking an oath to the corporate entity.
Constitution.
Yeah.
Yes, they're taking an oath to the crown.
Yes.
Like, I know, New York is a power base, Wall Street, it's all a power base, the Federal Reserve, it's all a power base. All the money goes through there. And I don't know, a mayor, I think, well, I can't remember which mayor it was, maybe back in the 70s, put a charge, or maybe back in the 50s, put a charge on every dollar that went through the federal reserve.
Yeah, yeah.
And now every currency, though, but every transaction in the world, they get a cut off, you know?
Yeah.
Look, there's a lot there. I'm digging and digging and digging, and the more I dig, the more unbelievable.
Yeah, I wanted to expand on what Vin said. They've actually got recordings going back to, Roosevelt, Franklin Roosevelt. They have his oath of office. You know, he got sworn in the first time as president, and you can clearly hear him say, "I solemnly swear to uphold the Constitution of the United States, and there's no of America."
Yeah, no,
not at all.
United States of where? United States of Europe?
Yeah. United States of, yeah, exactly. Yeah. The United States of the Crown of England.
Do you mean the Roman state?
Yeah,
yeah, the Roman state and the Crown state.
That's right.
Is that the United States? You know?
That's right. Yeah. I mean, you can clearly hear Roosevelt and every president after him. They have it all on film.
Yeah. Look, the people are being duped with the Constitution, really, because I'm going back into it, and France keeps coming back into that, it seems that the War of Independence, that the Brits might have been actually funding the so-called
certainly they were,
and rebels, you know,
and Benjamin Franklin went over to help seal a deal, you know.
Yeah. Look, a secret constitution written in Paris in what 1773, wasn't it? The War of Independence.
Yes.
Yeah. So a secret constitution written then, you know.
Yeah. Exactly.
I always look at your court cases when I'm there, and I take great interest in the gold fringe and things like that. And I've never seen an American court. Court where the flag doesn't have a gold fringe, and myself and Cotty done a show on that as well, and we were, because like when you see a flag, it puts you on notice that you're under the jurisdiction and laws of that country.
Certainly.
Right, but when you put the gold fringe around it, it says that you're now
under the crown,
Admiralty military law,
under the crown. Yep.
Yeah, so yeah, you're under the law of the sea, yeah, or like, but the law of the sea is martial law or military law or whatever, where
Admiral
chief
law,
of command
yeah.
is the president, yeah,
Admiralty law, exactly,
yeah. So yeah, I'm learning lots and lots and lots, and sometimes you get bored learning one thing and you get off it for a while, and then you're learning something else, but then it ties back into what you've just been, what you got bored with, you know,
chase a different rabbit. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. Like, I'm just finding that it all starts linking together. And the three that keep coming up, like, are the banks, the Vatican, and the Crown.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I had somebody the other day that...
too, quite a bit, but like, I've been given an explanation for Israel, or for Isis was the god of light, I think back in the Egyptian times. Israel, Ra for the sun, and Israel... And Ellison, I have to actually look up what Ellison was, but Israel. Anyway, that's where they were coming from, formed from again, tree.
Certainly, so, yeah.
Years and years and years and years. I have to go back into that. I'm not so sure on it, so I'll say note for now.
Well, this is one of the areas I need to look into more myself also, right? But apparently, you know, the days of the week, they were worshipped as deities. There was sun. S-U-N, Sunday. There was Monday, which is actually supposed to be Moon Day. I'm trying to think of what some of the other days of... I'm sorry?
Tuesday, yeah. So you're going to choose that day. look, everything apparently has a meaning is what I'm finding out, and everything came into being for some words were invented for... different reasons and twisted and turned and swiped, but it all happened long, long, long before we were born. We're just trying to stop it now. We're at the point where I think we have evolved where there's just not enough, there's too much bullshit. I don't know what they were feeding general population production during the 40s and the 50s and the 60s and the 70s in America. Over here, they were feeding them Guinness.
Well, they were
drunks.
They started feeding us the prepackaged foods that go in the boxes and the cans.
Yeah. Well, they were feeding us Guinness, and now they're feeding us fluoride, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's keeping us calm. And you were talking about the drugs thing earlier. Like, it's a good thing. Well, I'm sure those at the top of corporate power in America think it's a good thing that you have over 2 million drug addicts that are self, like, that rely on drugs every single day of the week.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, so this, while it mightn't be legal, yeah, or like, they are providing a source to a need when they're bringing in the heroin and the opium and the crack and all of that stuff that goes with it, and the crystal meth when they're bringing it in from South America and China and stuff like that. They are controlling the population, like, they're kind of like easy to buy them off, yeah, you know, like, it's sweets and a baby, you know.
Yeah. You know, I find it interesting. A lot of times over here in America, the one side is going to support their team members no matter what, whether it be the left side or the right side. They really turn a blind eye to all the corruption that goes on. You know, you'll talk to a Republican over here, and they know about all the corruption that goes on in the Republican Party, but yet they're still supporting it. And vice versa, on the Democratic side, they will just staunchly support their candidate no matter what.
Yeah, no matter what, yeah. Oh, that fella has a history of pedophilia. Oh, it wasn't him at the time. You know what I mean? It was somebody else. I get where they're coming from. We're now in a situation over here in Ireland where we have a government that doesn't have a majority, so it's a minority government, right? But the others have agreed, right? The opposition, who's really the same, have agreed that they'll support them.
Yeah, yeah. I wanted to bring up, I think, the interview that Ben Gilroy did on one of the national radio stations over there with, I can't remember the fellow's name now. I think his first name is Niles or something like
Niall Boylan.
Niall Boylan, yeah. Yeah, he said he's just astonished on how thick the Irish people are. And, you know, I'm pretty much the same way about the Americans. I'm just astonished how thick the American people are.
Yeah, it's gumbeanism. Yeah, it's just pure.
Exactly. Yeah, that word from the other night from Event Show. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. It really is. Look, it's gumbeanism. Look, you don't have to accept constitutions. You just have to know really the right, the good, the difference between right and wrong. Yeah, really and truly. Like, be yourself. You don't need any of that out there. You know what I mean? It's just, we all feel that we need somebody to look after us, I suppose. And then we go and we do something stupid, like elect a parliament who then chooses the government that they want, you know, who will do the job. It's really, people are so thick that they actually think voting that makes a difference. It doesn't make any difference whatsoever.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's
right
fun.
Or left, it doesn't matter. There's always right and left has always controlled the center.
Yes.
And the vast majority of people are in the center.
Besides, it takes two wings for a bird to fly anyways, or a man or a woman to walk.
Yeah. So you always need a left, a right, and a center.
Left,
you know,
and right, and center.
You always need that. So it's the left and the right brain telling the center, overpowering the center.
Yeah. I think it was also Joseph Stalin said that, if you want to control a nation, give them a vote and tell them they're free.
Well, you have to figure out that you're free for yourself. That's the first thing you have to figure out. It might cost your life because others might want to oppress you, and because you know you're free and you're sticking to your guns, they may. I see a lot of people being put against their free will, but like, we are creatures that have free will, and you're never going to be able to suppress that because it's in our DNA. It's in our makeup.
Certainly,
in who we are.
Certainly. I find it very interesting also that, you know, a child up until a certain age, they can look at a adult issue and they can tell when something's wrong, but an adult can't.
Absolutely, yeah. Around the age, like I think children at around the age of 6 to 8 years of age can be very, the answers that they give you to certain questions and things like that can be, they haven't quite picked up the indoctrination yet.
Brutally honest, yes.
But by the time they reach 10, that's all the stride because
they've
been told the lies in the schools.
Yep.
Yeah. And because they learned it in school, they think it's true.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
you know, life is funny. Look, we're all trying to get ahead and we're all trying to do whatever we want to do. But it's going to be very, very, very difficult to get out from under the thumb of corporate control and debt. Like, we're all debt slaves. Every last one of us is a debt slave. Anybody that has a birth cert is a debt slave, even if you don't, you know?
Yeah. And it's really no accident either that they're starting children out at a younger and earlier age with electronics to try to keep control.
Yeah, like the next thing that you're going to see is a baby will be born, and the first thing that'll have happen is a barcode will be slapped on its arse, you know, and that's it. Then they know who we are, like
or a brain chip.
Yeah, well, you know, look. They don't need us. Sometime in the future, they're not going to need us, you know?
Yeah. Eventually. Someday, yeah.
Yeah. They're not going to need us, or so they think. Yeah, they think they don't anyway.
Well, they're only going to need so many of us.
They survive. This is where it comes into it. Corporations live for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, yet man will only live for an average of 70, 75.
78 or something like that, yeah.
You know, the world has gone mad when you can recognize when a corporation has the same rights as what they call a person, yeah?
Well, they have more rights, actually. Woman,
you know, because it's all under civil law which is given, color of law, which is given to civil, yeah? A civil arrangement between peoples and governments, yeah? But at any time, the governments always have the control to take back all of them civil freedoms that the citizens think they have, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Like, you must be the man or you must be the woman if you want to retain your unalienable rights. Citizens have irrevocable rights. That's the way I would put it. That's
certainly
why when you hear the men in America and are giving it back when the Arabs are saying, oh, America is this and that, and you have leaders and they're saying, oh yeah, they just don't like us because they want to take away your freedoms, yeah? Your freedoms. They didn't say freedom, yeah? They said freedoms, because in America there's things you're not allowed to do as over here. Like, one of the ridiculous things is you're not free to grow hemp. In some states over there now, you can't even grow vegetables, or you can't collect. Like, that's something that a man just does freely, you know what I mean? But they're making it that it's a rule. You must have a license. It's a law. It's a legislation because the government says so.
And you're a person, yeah.
Yeah, you're a person, you know.
Yep.
And if you want to believe you're the person, that's fine. For 40 years of my life, I believed I was the person.
Yeah.
And I still sometimes make the mistake and call myself a person.
That's right. And you're driving in your... Well, I don't make that mistake anymore. I refer to myself as a man now, so, you know.
Well, mostly I do as well, but mostly I do. But when you're in a room with 100 people and you're the only one that knows what's going fucking on.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. It hasn't really been a long time, you know, just within the last 20 years or so that they started these semantic changes. I remember, and a lot of us do remember, you could hear a report on the television or the radio. They would call somebody, they would call a police officer, they would call them somebody from headquarters. The police headquarters or somebody from the police station said this and this and this, but now they're referred to as officials.
Officials, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because they're from the office of the state, yeah?
Yeah.
So, you know, I see quite a question in there from Dell again.
Are the aliens going to save us? Yeah. Yeah, no, Scotty's going to beam us up, Dell.
aliens, what's an alien, you know?
Yeah.
I would say aliens are corporate fictions, you know, they're alien, you know, companies, yeah, they're aliens to us. They're alien to us because they're not alive, they're dead, you know. But they're what's controlling us at the moment.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, so will the alien save us? No.
And Scotty's not going to save us either.
No, only we can save ourselves, yeah? And that's each individual needs to cop on who they are, what they are, what they can or can't do, yeah? Like, and only us, I believe, can save ourselves, yeah?
Do you think it's going to be as simple as learning their language, learning their legalese?
I would say it's going to be as simple as removing yourself from their system,
yeah?
By non-consent. You see, everything we do, everything they do, we consent to it. Yeah, so...
Right.
Like remove your consent. They can only get all this stuff by consent. Yeah, so remove your consent. You've more or less removed the system.
Yeah, sure. Stop feeding the beast. I say that a lot. Stop feeding the beast.
Yeah, I watch YouTubes and I watch all these arguments and everything on that. Like, and like a few years ago, I'd have been front and foremost and I'd have been giving it loads, yeah? But like, I've learned, I suppose, passiveness now, right?
Uh-huh.
And I'm perfectly happy to stand there and observe, but like, and wait. It's none of my business, really, what infringements are happening all around me, as long as I myself, my body, my being is not being invaded or assaulted or in anything like that. And like if chastised and things like that, I think I've learned how to deal with that quite good, quite efficiently. Usually when I'm asked, they'll come over and they'll go, what's your name? And I'll go, I won't answer. I'll say, who are you? You know, immediately I want to know who they are because like, I feel that's it. People, you know what I mean? I am.
Well, last I knew, I thought I heard Vince say one time that you can pretty much invoke the Fifth Amendment over here in America if you don't want to tell the police your name. I mean, I think he said one time, are you asking me to testify against myself?
Yeah, that it's funny enough.
Yeah.
It's funny enough that's something I was away today with some people and they wanted to look at. They're in difficulty and but like there's a family friend that's willing to help them, but he wants them to go through a solicitor, right? And basically, we went up there to have a chat today. And one of the questions I asked at the solicitor was, "Okay, you're going to do this and you're going to do that. Okay, what guarantee? Like, what's going to happen? Are you going to win?" Yeah. And basically the answer that, oh, he says, well, you can't really win. It's a plenary summons. He says, it's going to be very, very, very difficult. He says, we might be able to drag it out for 2 or 3 years. Right. And you get to stay there that long, but eventually it'll come to an end. That was his answer, but he was going to relieve them of €10,000.
Oh boy.
To do that for them. Right.
Yeah.
I was just asking some questions about his methods and things like that. They asked me to come to ask them questions because they wouldn't understand his answers, you know?
Uh-huh, yeah.
But they understood. They understood when they're finished, but I'm not so sure what route they're going to go. But there's a lot of legal problems in there, and really what I see them all doing is they have a big ball of tangled web, and there's probably 10 issues within them, and they need to separate each issue out into each separate issue and then bring each one of them issues forward one at a time.
Hmm.
And I don't, like, to be honest with you, what I've seen from the legal profession how to deal with our problem isn't going to deal with our problem. It's just going to relieve them of a big wad of cash.
Well, certainly. I mean, when it comes down to it, at the end of the day, the solicitor or the lawyer has to follow rules. They have to do what the Crown wants them to do.
Yeah. I look at what I seen there today is, and what some of the questions that I asked and I didn't get answers to, I'm 37 years in this business. Do you think I don't know the legal profession? You know, and they were simple questions. They were simple questions that was being asked, you know. And to be honest, the people that I went in there with came out and they said, we never thought he was so thick.
So you've been a...
You know, that's really like basically they sat in there and simple questions and your man couldn't answer them. And he's supposed to be representing them. You know, he's supposed to be the expert.
Right. Yeah.
You know, he's supposed to be the expert and he can't answer simple questions that's been asked that are in their best interests, you know, and I was just astounded that he'd have his hand out for that lump of cash. And really, when I came out, I said 37 years telling people that they need him to represent them, to defend the bullshit. And then, well, it's really out about, it's all about getting paid to tell people how they need him to represent them, to deal with the bullshit. And he doesn't even know what the bullshit is. You know?
Yeah.
So the really, really what they came out with there, but they were a bit wider and awake when they came out than they were before they went in, because like, he didn't like some of the things that I was suggesting, you know, like, acquiescing to a lot of stuff that was within the documentation. And I was asking questions, you know what I mean? And I was saying, the contract is here, and this is the one that's bringing in some. So where did the how are you going to deal with how they got the obligation? Wasn't there a Supreme Court case about 10 years ago? He didn't know. He was pulling at straws out of the air. And I got a lot of information by what answers he didn't give me to questions that I asked.
Yeah, exactly. I did want to mention, tonight is Kira's first night coming back on People's Internet Radio. I think she's not going to be live. I think she's actually going to be running pods for her shows. So,
they're all good. It's all great information.
Yeah, a little after 20 minutes or so, I think her guest is Ross Alexander II. Abrams is the name of the band.
Alexander II. Yeah. What does he do when he's at home?
I think he's a band member of the group Abrams, if I'm not mistaken. She just wrote to me.
Yeah, okay. But look, I'll be listening anyway. I'll probably be playing darts, and I'll have the computer on, and I'll be listening, you know.
So, uh-huh. Listening in the background there. I do that a lot myself, so
pool, I play darts.
Yeah. Well,
when you were talking about pool, you don't hustle that by any chance, do you?
Not a chance. I don't gamble. I don't gamble at all. I only gamble on sure things.
Funny enough, many, many, many years ago, I did actually make a living playing pool.
Well, to tell you the truth, Ray, I only gamble on sure things. So since there's no such thing as a sure thing, I don't gamble. So
yeah, the only sure thing there is in life, Steve, is you're gonna die.
You're gonna die. Yep.
Yeah, and that's a certainty. Yes, yeah, so bet on that one. Yeah. Oh, that's what insurance policies are. Oh.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, I just seen. Kira just popped in the chat room there. Just a few minutes ago, and said hi to everyone. So.
I welcome. Hi, Kira. Looking forward to having you back here on People's Internet Radio. Looking forward to being back a lot more myself. Haven't been talking to all you folks out there for a while, and that's why I'm on with Steve tonight, because I have been missing you, believe it or not.
Yeah.
But I do like to talk about different issues and logic and reason as to what's going on at the moment. And because I don't pay much attention to what's in the media, you know.
Yeah. What night and what time do you think you want to come back on then?
Well, I'm struggling with my softwares at the moment, Steve, to actually link into the radio. It's playing with echoes and things behind it. And I don't know why as of yet, but I've tried reloading them, resetting them. I've tried loads of stuff, but I'm sure I will get there eventually. But like for the moment, I'm really looking for a producer, somebody to produce me on a Monday night or whatever. And I'll try and line up some guests. But like, I am extremely busy as well. And I'm finding that I may not have the time on a Monday, because tonight, like, I didn't get home from Dublin till about 6:45 tonight. So like, if that was on a Monday night, you'd never get anything together to do a show.
Oh, that's right. You're still on the schedule, aren't you? From 8 until 9.
Yeah. So, like, I do the late hour with Cotty, and to be honest with you, I really like that show, because I know it's great to have a guest when you have a guest on the show, because it takes the pressure off you to talk for 2 hours or 1 hour or whatever, because, like, you feel like you're waffling by the time you get to the end of it, you know?
Oh, certainly. Well, I have in the past filled in on Monday nights for Big Pat a couple of times. If you need someone to help you out from 8 until 9, I could probably do that.
Yeah, look, I like being on the radio, but like, my lifestyle is getting quite busy again, because like, I'm finding now that since the election, since the election. Oh, that's my phone. Wait till I just turn it off. Since the election, things have got a lot tougher, or appear to have got a lot tougher in the courts. Well, because I that's where I spend a lot of my time, and a lot of people contact me through there looking for help because they don't have an understanding of the documents that's been served upon them. And while I don't either, I try to offer a solution to them. So and that solution is always the official offer: take yourself out of default, stop yourself from failing and neglecting, you know, them, and then ask them to document and verify the claim that's coming against you, you know, like there's a way of doing it, but like I'm extremely busy doing that at the minute.
Yeah. There is a question out there from Ian. Do you think Mark Windows is going to come back soon, or?
Yeah, I used to enjoy Mark's shows, yeah. I hope so.
Yeah. We need to get a lot of people back doing what they were doing, get these technical issues ironed out. I know John McCann would like to run his own show, but he's just not able to at the moment. Pat, I think he would probably like to run his own show too. He's just not able to.
Yeah, I don't be able to do a Monday night show. Like for the last 2 weeks, I wouldn't have been because I had a death in the family this Monday, so I wouldn't have been able to do it. The week before, I was away somewhere and it was unavoidable, and like that's what I'm saying. I love to get on to talk to you. It's like I would have loved to get on maybe on Monday night, but I had a death in the family and we were away.
Yeah,
but. Like I wanted to talk about, while it would be fresh in my mind, what I'd found out about the courts maybe on the Monday and what had happened. And like that's what I say, it seems to be heating up, whereas there'd be 100 cases and 5 people had turned up now. There was 87 the other day and probably 45 of the families turned up, you know? So it's getting serious.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's what I do most of the time. And I'm struggling with maybe time, maybe I'll try and rearrange that. I'm missing out. I used to write. I don't have time to write anymore because I'm spending so much time, I suppose, researching stuff.
Yeah.
Look, life has become busy for me, but it's who we are, you know. We'll find a way.
Do you still work for a living? I mean, do you still work?
Do I work? No.
No? Okay.
I work. I work with people. I work with people in the community. I help people with problems. So do I work? Yes. Do I get paid work?
Do you have a slave? Do you have a slave number and you pay your taxes with? That's what I meant.
No. Okay. I have my own unique way of dealing with all that sort of taxes and things like that. Yeah. And it usually has a return to sender label on it. You know.
There you go.
Yeah, so that is the story with all of that, yeah?
Well, certainly. Did you ever do anything for a living, or have you always done this?
I've done many things. Let's see. I used to be a slave, I suppose, on a farm once upon a time. Then later on in life, I became a delivery boy, a courier, doing what was quite a dangerous job, but I loved it. And that was couriering on a motorbike in and out through the traffic in a busy city, you know, like...
like in New York City, yeah.
I have to say, I loved the job, but after a couple of bangs, you give it up, you know. And then I became, and I actually owned my own company, courier company, and I got out of that then as the corporates get bigger, they take over the smaller guys, you know, that are only in it for a wage or whatever that they're in. So that happened, and then I went into the taxi business, and I was in that for many years, and I've been in the internet business, and I've been in the recycling business. I've been in many businesses. I find that I'm very good at building things.
Yeah.
You know, like sales, I've always been very, very strong at selling things, yeah. Huh. Selling services, ideas. But I do know that if you sell something to them, how you will keep your customer is by giving them the good customer service, because it's all about customer service. People, when you pick up the phone and you want to talk to somebody, you want to talk to them now. You don't want to send them an email and talk to them 2 days time. Whatever it was you needed to do was gone, or whatever, you know. I'm quite good at business, I suppose, at building businesses and building networks and things like that. Yeah.
Well, I'm not. Otherwise, I could I could be making some money doing it.
Yes, I am. But like at the end of the time, it's a thankless job and it's very, very, very difficult, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of pressure. Like I'm one of these guys that takes the work home with you, you know?
Oh, certainly.
Certainly, but like I what do. I'm doing now, I suppose, I get a lot of fulfillment out of helping other people.
Hmm. Yeah.
You know, like I don't, in a lot of cases, I don't have to leave the area I'm in. People come to see me and basically we'll discuss their problems. And in many cases, I'll offer them a solution and they'll go off and they'll do that and you never see them again. And in other cases, then you have to spend some more time with people because you have to try and, like, I never do anything with people unless they fully understand what they're doing, you know?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Because I don't want anybody saying at the end of it, oh, it's your fault.
Yeah.
You know, so that's where I am. And I work myself and Cotty, Paul Cotty there, are you addressing me in the chat box?
Uh-huh.
We would spend a lot of time and we discuss a lot of logic and reason as well. And it's made me, I would say to you, no bother, Steve, in the last 3 years, I'm a hell of a lot smarter. And I mean considerably more than I ever was.
Yeah, yeah.
Because of what I'm learning now and where I'm hooked into and what it's opened my mind up to.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, I think I'm going to run one more Joe Rogan video and then end with a song. I've got a lot of things going on in the house here, and I've got a lot of noise in the background, and I think it's just a pretty good time to say goodnight to you.
It's a great time to say goodnight, Steve. Listen, delighted to having a chat with you. It's nice to shoot the breeze every now and again and not be under pressure. Making out, you know. So it was great to shoot the breeze. Look forward, we will do it again, and see you in the near future.
Ah, well, thank you for coming on.
No bother at all. Good night, folks.
Have a good night, Ray.
Good night.
And as I mentioned, Kira will be coming up in about 12 minutes, somewhere in there. So I'm going to end with one more Joe Rogan video that I caught earlier today, and it's got a lot of got a lot of truth to it also. This one is called Ever Wonder Why Marijuana is Illegal. So I think it's about 4 minutes or so. And then I will end with a song and Kira can have it after me. So stay tuned, everyone.